Hello, Screeters. Holy cow, it's already been 5 days since I've returned from Texas and North Texas RPG Con. Maybe we'll have to toss in a little advertisement from my man, TJ Drennan, who I was very fortunate to meet at North Texas this year for the first time in person, along with some other firsts, like Stu Clark. I always forget his last name. And I can't even begin to imagine how many other people it's been. Dark Fluid from the ADD. Jiminy Christmas. So many people. Lucas Wolf. It was really quite an amazing experience, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I haven't really had a ton of con drop, but maybe con drop is just that overwhelming feeling you get when you think, dang, now I'm probably going to work every day for a month. But it was a fun few days while I was in Texas. All right, this is not a North Texas recap. This is a little different. We got some new people calling in and some different responses concerning levels of play, and I'm pretty excited about it. Some of the messages are a little long, but I want to play them for you still so you can check them out. I think it's a good idea, but I don't know. What I do know, today is Friday, June 9th, 2023. I am Jason Hobbs, and this is Random Screed.
Hey Hobbs, Carl here. Thank you so much for the recommendation through your recounting of play for We Deal in Lead. I have bounced off the Gunslinger Dark Tower series several times, and I think I just want to hunker down and get into it. I've started reading The Gunslinger. I don't know if I'll finish in the next couple days and get on to the next one, since I still got to prep for North Texas RPG Con. Blue Candy Clouds is still an outline. I'm ready for Reaver, though. Fortunately, Blue Candy Clouds is Saturday, so I have some days to work on the outline. But I definitely got to get the characters ready, at least. And, yeah, I might have to haul my computer up there. Anyway, it'd be great to see all of y'all. I hope I can get in. I did keep some time slots open. So maybe I can jump into a Forlorn Shores game that you're going to be GMing, since you're the bestest GM of all of those GMs running Forlorn Shores. I'm just causing controversy, of course. Anyway, talk to you soon.
And there you have it. Carl Rodriguez from the GMologist Presents calling in about We Deal in Lead and his own NTX prep. I did not get to sit in a game with Carl, but we did hang out quite a bit. Oh, wait, I did get to play in a game with Carl, the Levi Combs Planescape game. Carl got into that mostly because he was hanging out with us on Friday and Saturday night during the Gauntlet. I feel like that should be a cliffhanger. What is the Gauntlet at North Texas RPG Con? Anyway, thanks for calling in, Roger. Thanks for calling in, Carl. It was great seeing you and hanging out and talking about all this stuff. One of my few regrets from North Texas is not being able to get into a We Deal in Lead game. So, going to have to make up for that at Game Hole Con in Madison, Wisconsin, coming up this fall.
Hey, Hobbs, it's Che, just calling back. I'm sitting in the car. I just listened to your episode, Levels of Play, and you'd called into me on the GM's Journal because you wanted me to reference that between the frames of play. So, first of all, the source of frames of play. Frames of play comes from Gary Allen Fine's book, Shared Fantasy, which was published in 1983. It's a sociological study of role-playing games, probably the biggest ever done. And I picked up again on the frames of play stuff through Megan A. Connell's new book, Tabletop Role-Playing Therapy, which is 2023 and is a really good read. I'm partway through. In that, she references, as part of her theory about how to apply role-playing games for therapeutic purposes. She references Fine's theory of three frames of play. So to summarize, the three frames of play are, first of all, the player frame, then there's the rules frame, and then there's the character frame. And essentially what they are, the player frame is obviously me sitting at my table playing the game. So I'm never not in the player frame, really. But the idea is that we shift away from a focus on what's going on in the real world around us, the dice we're rolling, the crisp we're eating, whatever, and we actually shift into probably our character frame, which is the third. But in between that, there's also the rules frame. So the rules frame is whenever we're interacting with the rules of the game. And then the character frame is like when we're in role, making decisions in character, trying to imagine the thoughts and feelings of our character. And of course, as an extension of that, that's when we are actually in the world of the game as well, which the character obviously inhabits. So in an ideal world, I suppose, at least for me, I'm in character frame most of the time while I'm playing, so I can go explore the other world and get the other world immersion that I'm looking for, and I can be in character and have the character immersion that I'm looking for in the play. And of course, my issue, relates back to your episode, is in that this switching between rules frame and character frame, because, you know, we're always switching between these to some degree or other. What I'm seeking to do, I suppose, to use Fine's theory, is reduce the amount of time that I'm in the player frame and in the rules frame, and increase the amount of time that I'm in the character frame, if that makes sense. So how does this connect to your levels of play stuff? Well, it's kind of interesting, because what you're talking about there is, the base level is I'm in my character and in role. But as you also mentioned, this, you might be looking at your character sheet. And for me, and my understanding of Fine's theory, is that as soon as I look at my character sheet, I'm now in rules frame. When I roll the dice, I'm in rules frame. And when I report my result, I'm in rules frame. And then as we start to narrate the outcome, I shift back to character frame. And it's this shifting back and forth, okay, that we have, that we're actually in our minds moving between interacting with the mechanisms of play, and then actually the description of play, what some might call the narrative or the fiction or that kind of term, right? So it's interesting listening to levels of play, because in each example of it's kind of like a depth of play thing, I suppose, the more control the player has over the world itself, often there are mechanisms used to fuel that. So you're shifting, if I'm spending some kind of point to decide that there's something in the locker, I think, to use an example that you used, then I'm using a rules frame to then influence the world frame, or the character's frame, right? The actual outcome in the world. And we're shifting between those two things. And we do that very quickly, and we do it very subtly, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. But there is always a psychological switching cost as we shift our mind from one way of thinking to another way of thinking, that we sort of, there's a momentary pause there, and we have to sort of shift ourselves in those frames. And of course, one of the issues that Fine pointed out in his sociological study was sometimes these frames get confused. And it's a classic gazebo example where a GM talked about and described something as being a gazebo. And the player basically starts to ask questions of what the gazebo looks like and what it's doing. What is the gazebo doing? And the confused GM starts going it's just being a gazebo. And then the player starts to kind of say, is it angry? Is it hostile? And there's this moment where Fine observed the GM actually decides to roll with that, realizing that the player didn't realize that the description of gazebo was drawing on the player frame. The player didn't know what a gazebo was, thought it was some kind of creature. And then the GM actually, in character frame, decided just to roll with that and made the gazebo into a creature. And it's kind of an amusing story in a way, but it's actually also shows us how we can get confused between these different frames as we play. So and I hope that makes some kind of sense. I hope I'm explaining that fairly clearly. So how does this all relate back to your stuff? Well, in levels of play, I think for me, I'm trying to make more of a distinction between when we're using the mechanisms of the rules and when we spending points and all that kind of stuff, and when we are actually in the fantasy of being our character, immersed in our character and immersed in the world. And I'd like to be more immersed in the world more of the time. So I'd like to spend less time talking about rules or thinking about rules. Now, that obviously, you don't eliminate it. Fine points out you can't have a game without rules. So you need all three frames, he says, to actually have an effective role-playing game. But the question, of course, is the degree to which we need to actually spend time on each of those frames. Like, ideally, I don't want to spend much time in the player frame. That's just sort of humming away in the background, right? That I'm a human being in this real world playing a game at the table with my friends. But being reminded of that all the time, you know, the moments that really jar with me for player when a player makes a joke in the real world, like draws on something, like this classic kind of Star Wars reference that's made in the middle of a game. I'm suddenly back in a player frame and I'm out of the other world, and, you know, it just is non-congruent. So it just draws me back out. Or when somebody sort of says, oh, you know, how do the worlds work for climbing this cliff kind of thing? Now we're into a rules frame. And so it's not like it's bad or anything. It's just about taste and it's about where we want to focus. But for me, I realized really strongly that Fines model works quite well for me in helping me explain what's going on in my mind, and that I want more and more of a character frame, please. So I hope that makes sense. I'm going to post this onto the GM's journal, but I'm also going to email it to you now so you've got it for Hobbs. Random Screed. So, Hobbs, thanks very much for the question, and game on.
Hey there, Mr. Hobbs. Harrigan here. I've listened to lots of your stuff over the years, but I've never called in, so here's a random take for your Random Screed. There were great comments, I thought, in the Levels of Play episode recently. Whatever you want to call that, levels or tiers or modes of play, it matters hugely when there are people at the table that are all coming at it differently. They all want different experiences at the table. It reminds me a little bit of Ron Edwards' stances as well from back in the Forge days, author, actor, and director stances. I'd love to hear more discussion about this stuff in the future from your callers and from you. These days, there are tons of modes of play, levels within levels. There are like many different kinds of meta currency. In Fate, which you referenced, players can actually change the narrative in ways that have like nothing to do with their characters. They can create cover, they can make trains late for the station, they can make full-on changes to the environment based on other things that are happening in the scene, and they're just spending fate points to do it. But you can contrast that with like Call of Cthulhu's 7th edition, its luck, or the pushing mechanics that are seen there, and also in the various Year Zero engine games from Free League. Those are about not changing the fiction, but they're about like doubling down, about accepting a potential worse outcome in order to push on and succeed. So you have to roll again. There's no guaranteed success. It just lets you basically try again harder, and then bad things happen if you fail.
Hey, Jason, the other Jason, just listened to your Levels of Play episode, and it's really interesting to show how diverse the RPG hobby is. So you've got, like, I'm not a super simulationist kind of guy. I like to understand what the rules are and like to play with them. But that said, I can play in Che's Otherworld Immersion style game and be perfectly happy too. But Che definitely wants that exploration. He wants the rules to take a back seat and not be talked about at the table. And I get that. And I can appreciate that. But, you know, whether we do that, whether we do it like we were doing, kind of figure out the rules and playing, or you try to do that next level play thing where you're doing meta currency, or you're doing your kingmaker thing where you're, you know, doing it really granularly, almost to the point of, like, a worker placement game built into your RPG. There are so many different experiences you can have, you know, from the third party, my character does this, to talking in funny voices, right? And none of it's wrong, and it's all role-playing. It's such a diverse hobby with so many different ways to do it. I think that's one of the things that keeps it so interesting. So, great show. Look forward to hearing what other people had to say. And I hope you have a great time at North Texas if I don't talk to you first.
If he is up or down, his podcast still comes round. Hobbs is in his van. Don't turn off that sat nav, man. Random Screed, Random Screed. Don't know what you get, but it's what you need.
All right. First, I want to call out all the people who called in for Levels of Play. Those were great messages. Not necessarily better than Carl's talking about We Deal in Lead, but I really appreciate you listening to the show and having some opinions, and then, you know, letting me hear them and letting the other Screeders hear them. So thank you so much, Harrigan of BS Landia fame, Jason Connerly of Nerds RPG Variety Cast, and of course, Che Webster from Roleplay Rescue. Now, there's a lot to unpack in all of those. I should tell you that Che also played that message on his show, Roleplay Rescue, but it was the GM Journal edition, which is possibly behind a paywall. So maybe it's best that he sent the identical message to us, which he played on his show, although you don't get to hear his extra commentary unless you go over and listen to GM Journal, which you should definitely do. I'm not saying it's a complete copy of Random Screed, but it is a journal. He's a GM, and we both have mental abilities, and yeah, so you should check it out. He's a way better speaker than I am, but I kind of appreciate GM Journal because it's not scripted like Roleplay Rescue is, which means he writes it out ahead of time and then reads it on the air, which there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But for me, I kind of like hearing both things out of it. So great. Both are great shows, as well as GMologist Presents. Harrigan does not do a podcast. I think it's only a matter of time, but maybe that window's closed. I don't know. We'll have to ask Harrigan. So, levels of play, we got some responses about that, which was really cool. And like I said, I appreciate you guys calling in and giving your ideas. Mostly what we got, though, was, you know, just like some commentary about the levels of play in general and how diverse role-playing game can be and how many different ways there are to play games, which has an audience, every one of them. So there's nothing wrong with any of them. In my eyes, I was often feeling that many genres lack the idea of what makes it plausible for their characters to do multiple adventures. I'm positive I've talked about this many times, but, you know, I'm a Vancian podcaster. What are you going to do? Specifically, what I'm talking about is the idea in, say, a straight Western game, playing many sessions with the same characters. Like, you don't have an adventuring party in the Western genre very much. Yeah, maybe. Oh, dang. All right, so like I was saying, I feel like there are some samples or some precedent to long-term Western campaigns, but they usually center around a domain. So for domain play, so like Gunsmoke centers around a town as a sheriff, or Bonanza, or Ponderosa, the Ponderosa on Bonanza. So that's like a farm or a particular caravan, or, you know, a wagon train could be your... But then you're obviously going to slip out of the first level of play, basically being only playing your character, and then you're also going to affect this domain, is what I'm calling it. I don't know if that's a good name for it, but it's the same thing I was doing for Relentless in a space game, and Steadfast in a fantasy game. So when you have this domain that you're actually, like a kingmaker is kind of what we're comparing it to, I suppose. But then now it's almost going to be board gamey as you gather up stuff for that. I also think that wouldn't it make way more sense to categorize games by the level of play versus how we categorize them now? Like, instead of OSR game, you just call it first level of play game, because, you know, the majority of the time all you're doing is playing your character through the eyes of your character, which some people would call traditional game. But I mean, I think Traveler is probably a traditional game, but a lot of times, and this may not be 100% accurate, but a lot of times you're doing all these spreadsheets and stuff, taking care of your ship, but I guess your character is doing that as well, so maybe that isn't in the second level of play, even though it kind of feels like it to me. It's just kind of interesting when you consider that making decisions about a domain, is that first level of play, or have you shifted into second level of play? I don't know. We need better definitions. We need better definitions of the levels of play. this is fascinating. So I think I kind of understand what I want him to be. But of course, there's always going to be tweeners or edge of the spectrum type things. Like, is it this or is it this? And so there you go again. Maybe categorizing isn't even intelligent or beneficial in that. But man, I think it would be if you kind of had an idea what sort of game you were buying and what it entailed. In some ways, you know, trad and story game do that, because oftentimes in story games, there are ways to affect the story environment as a player. Or like if someone, meaning the GM, details a scene that your character can't see. Are those different levels of play? It'd be interesting to hear from Che if that would affect his ideas of what he wants, because I feel like in a lot of genres that really helps. Like, it's a trope for the superhero genre to sometimes see what the villain is doing outside of, meanwhile, back at the Batcave. Or, you know, what I'm saying is there's these excerpts of scenes that happen outside, and it's a really nice tool for a GM to tell stories that can give you more ideas to work with, as opposed to just giving you a massive info dump. You know, they're just placing them within a scene or giving you other characters to play out to detail how this, what happens in this scene, as opposed to the GM just making it up. Further, I would like to point out, in my opinion, that these other levels of play basically pull more and more quote-unquote power or narrative control from the GM and place them in the player's hands, which I think is what some players like. They like the idea of being able to affect things more than just through the first-person eyes of their character. Now, I don't really necessarily remember the stances that Harrigan put forth, only vaguely, and it makes me want to see if I can find an essay on that. So many things came out of the Forge that many people say are negative, but there's also some interesting concepts like the Fantasy Heartbreaker, these stances. I wonder how many there are. It could be a cool and definitely informative take or idea to kind of go through the Forge and maybe detail some of the beneficial and maybe some of the negative things that came out of that era and that specific forum, or all the forums. Would be very beneficial to many listeners and game players that have come later and wonder, you know, where these ideas came from. We talk about the great ideas from the forebears. I'm not sure how to say that. Like Dave and Gary and Moldvay and Menser and all those guys, Ward and Cask. But what about the people who came later in this internet age? I don't know. You tell me.
It's an orgy of game and everybody knows your name.
Vortex is RPG Con.
The organizer and Satan are one and the same.
Vortex is RPG Con.
And we'll all be bumping uglies playing in shows games.
Vortex is RPG Con.
North Texas RPG Con. First weekend in June at the Westin Inn in scenic urban Texas. Pack those dice bags and a spare liver.
Vortex is RPG Con.